sounds like something awful. And I'm thankful. We were talking a minute ago about, you know, whether we're going to be on the internet or the Facebook Live or whatever. And I told them, I said, I'm sharing some things from my family that I'd probably rather not post on Facebook. You know, my family is broken, and that's being so polite. I mean, so I have a bruncle. You haven't lived until you have a bruncle. He was my uncle until I was in my low to mid-20s. And someone's like, hey, by the way, you know that he's actually your brother. And I was like, there are some things you stop the truck for, right? Especially if the one driving is the one that deeply involved, right? At least let me get this thing below 80. It was a children's home's van, so we nearly flipped it, and it was going to be a problem, but it didn't. So anyway, if you've got your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And while you're looking that up, I'm going to tell you a story that has absolutely nothing to do with this, except that God has a sense of humor, and I'm convinced that he's making... I learned a new word. It's called a mockumentary. It's like a documentary, but it's where it makes fun of something. I'm full-blown convinced that there's a mockumentary going on of the life of CJ. There just has to be. Someone called me this week and said, hey, CJ, I've just had you on my mind, and I just felt like I was supposed to call you. And so we had a 20-minute conversation while I should have been cutting grass. But, you know, I love this person, so I turned the mower off to take their call. And we talked for a few minutes and had a good conversation. And he said, hey, by the way, no one knows this yet. This is part of the reason we won't be on Facebook Live. But I'm seeing somebody. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. Tell me about her. And he said, we met on whatever, you know, plentyoffish.com or whatever the website was. He said, but she lives in my town. And, you know, we live, you know, it just kind of, he said, things just worked out. He said, I actually read the Bible story where there was someone in the Bible who was lonely and God sent them an angel. He said, and I think this might be my angel. I'm like, that's cool, man. She's a chick, so she won't be long, but enjoy it while it lasts, because I've been married 17 years. I'm telling you right now, that's a very short angel window for both sides, right? But anyway, I said, no, that's cool. He goes, actually, her dad's got a boat. I said, oh, dude, that's cool. He goes, yeah, you know, he does some deep sea fishing out of it and that sort of thing. I said, dude, that's really cool. At the end of the conversation, I said, hey, listen, thanks for calling. I enjoyed this so much. I said, but I want two things. I said, I want a picture of you and your friend. I said, no, I want a picture of her dad's boat. He goes, man, I got to tell you one thing. She's big. I was like, well, yeah, boats that are going in the ocean, yeah, that's typically the... He goes, nah, man. Nah, man, she's big. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? So, anyway, my friend who called and loved me is now dating someone who's large. And I'm like, listen, dude. I said, man, listen, give it time. We're all going to be big. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I know someone whose wife said, will you love me if I get fat? He said, you'll actually hear me tell you I love you more. And she goes, really? He goes, yeah, because I'll tell you all the time I'd love for you to lose weight. I was like, dude. Anyway, the marriage didn't last, or divorce today. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I thank the Lord for being so good to me. I thank the Lord for the broken things in my life that have led me to where I am. I have a beautiful, beautiful life. I'm so blessed. I have a wife I have no business having. I have four beautiful, healthy kids. We're so blessed. We're so incredibly blessed. Amanda teaches at a school, and she said that some of the parents today were saying, you know, it's so upsetting that we can't get an IEP. We can't get these tools that we need to help our kids get a full-blown education. And we're just, Amanda and I were talking this afternoon about how we're really blessed that our kids are just, you know, smart. I think it's more my genes than her. No, that's definitely not true. It's yeah. Brother Don hasn't heard a thing I said all night. He heard that. He's like, yeah, fat chance, buddy. But no, truly, they need to thank her for those genes. But we're blessed. We have four healthy kids. I have a beautiful, beautiful life. And if you knew me when I was 9, some of you did, that wasn't the trajectory we were on. If you knew me when I was 14, that wasn't the trajectory we were on. If you knew me at 21, there's a chance that's the trajectory we were on, but you know, it was hit and miss. But God, despite the stupid things I did along the way, I tried to run away from Bible college. Some of you have heard that story before. God killed my motorcycle. That's a true story. I was at Trinity Baptist Bible College, and I had a motorcycle that had really been pretty much no problem, and I decided I was going to run away from Bible college on that thing. Threw my leg over it, and it wouldn't crank. I mean, it just all of a sudden, and we worked on it for 3 hours, and it never ran again. So be careful what you decide to run away from God with, because if you really like it, it may be gone for good. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." That first phrase, "I would not have you," excuse me, "I would not that you should be ignorant, brethren." Or excuse me, "be ignorant." There's no brethren on this part. That is the same phrase that Uncle Brian liked to use very frequently when I was coming up. Every boy who's lived in his house has heard this before. "Don't be foolish," right? If he's really fired up, "don't be stupid," right? That was rare. He saved that the stupid word for special occasions when I'd really, well, deserved it, but that's another story for another day. But what he's saying is, he was saying, "Hey guys, what I'm fixing to say to you is important. Don't be foolish. Don't miss this. Catch this. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to catch on to this. This is very, very, very important." And he's saying, "I want you to learn from this." He said, "I want you to don't be ignorant about how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Did you notice that I emphasized "all" several times, right? Because he's talking about the Israelites, right? As they came out of Egypt, they went through some crazy stuff, and he's saying they were all taken care of, right? None of them were hungry. None of them had issues. They were all guided by day, they were all guided by night, they were all taken care of, right? The word "all" sounds weird now every time I say it, I don't know why. But anyway, they were all, the whole entire group, right, was taken care of. They were all well. And then the next phrase gets a little bit different. It says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." All versus many. Right? It's a huge difference. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. It says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown. Now these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, and as they also lusted." And then he goes through and he describes several things, right? Lust, idolatry, fornication. There was some other things in here, just tempting Christ. And it says, hey, let's learn from these things that destroyed the people who are ahead of you. And if your family is like mine, you saw some unhealthy things, right? I tell people that my mother is a serial marrier. It's like a serial killer, but worse, right? She just keeps marrying people. I shouldn't say that anymore because the last one lasted 9 years before he died. He was the only one who died. The rest all, the marriage died, but they lived on. Anyway, that was not supposed to be funny. That's my life, though. But anyway, so I saw brokenness, right, from very, very, very early. And what he's saying is, don't be foolish. Don't think that that's normal. Please don't look at the things that many people did. Have you ever been told, well, if everyone jumps off the bridge, are you going to? I mean, my answer was probably. I mean, if we're just being honest, I'd love to act like I'm more spiritual and that I was more wise than that. But I mean, if Thomas didn't break his legs jumping off the bridge, I was probably going to give it a shot, right? At least, you know, Thomas was way tougher than I am. I saw him skateboard down a hill and erase all of the skin from his chest with concrete and get up and wipe the dirt out and go, I wonder if they're biting. You know, I was like, yeah, I hope so. I mean, I don't know what else to respond to that. But we see things that are so broken, and they're done by many. And you know what stinks about that? Is that everybody was taken care of, right? many made bad choices. Many were misdirected. As you know, 12 spies went in, you know, that said we should go see what God has for us. And when they came back, they're like, well, 10 were bad, 2 were good, right? There's a whole song about that. But many misdirected them, right? Many were the bad choices. And what stinks, come on in, is that all ended up paying the consequence for that, right? That entire generation missed out on going into the promised land. And it's just a bummer. But what are some things that look normal to our generation that aren't? I love my voice. I'm a big fan of it, but I'd love for this to be somewhat interactive. Aunt Darlene, what's something that people today would say is normal that's not? Homosexuality, for sure, right? Living with a woman and not getting married, right? That's, my brother's been doing that for, not my broncle. He's been married 3 times now. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I've got family members who just say, oh, well, that's, you know, I watched Marriage Not Work, so I'm just not going to bother with it. You know, this generation says, oh, just move in together, buy a house together, and see if it works out. How's that working out? It's not. And this world would say, oh, that's normal. That's perfectly normal. What's something else that the world would say is perfectly normal?
Not going to church,
right? Yeah, I don't need that. My calendar's full. I've got stuff all week. I'm busy, which is all true, right? But my soul, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for God to do something. I'm desperate for God to do something. What's something else this world would say is normal that is not?
Cheating on tests,
right? Yeah, no, absolutely right. Absolutely right. They'd say, oh, it's not, you know, it's just convenient. Absolutely right.
Family
fighting. My soul, if that's not normal in my family, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we've rented out boxing gloves before. You know what I mean? That's not true, but we probably should have. We would have if we thought anyone would have enough money. But you can't. Anyway, that's wild. Divorce, right? The easy way out. It just didn't work. We tried it, and it just didn't work. Now, that's certainly true. And there's some specific things here that they go through. They said these things that looked normal, right? Most people did these things. Most people thought these things were perfectly fine. They cost all, right? They cost all. And then he said to them, because you've seen these things, right, you are uniquely qualified to avoid them. You've had a front row seat to how they devastated an entire generation. So now you have the unique, whatever you want to call it, qualification, the unique perspective to absolutely avoid those things. And you know what's neat to me is that in this room, I love that we're together with the babies and the not babies, right? I went to another church that referred to some of you in this room as seasoned citizens, right? Yeah, not senior, but seasoned citizens. Doesn't that sound better than old people? But listen, we're all in different walks of this life. You know what you can do tomorrow morning? Anything you want to, right? You know what I have to do tomorrow morning? I have 20 people who say, CJ, I need you at my house cutting grass tomorrow, and they all expect to see me. Some will be disappointed. That's what happens when it rains for 2 days. But I have somewhere I have to be. And you know where you can't be? At any of those people's houses, because if you show up at any of those 20 homes, they're going to say, who are you? Unless you have Girl Scout cookies, please get off my property. You know, unless you're here to cut the grass for free or you have Girl Scout cookies, please leave. If you have Girl Scout cookies, please come on in. We've got cash, right? I go to a house regularly that has a sign that says, we know who we're voting for, we love Jesus, and the only need we have in this home is Girl Scout cookies. If you have them, please knock on this door. You know, it makes me grin every time. But just the way he said that, you know, you are uniquely qualified, right? You have seen these things firsthand. You now are uniquely qualified. We've all got a different set of unique qualifiers, right? We all have somewhere that we can be tomorrow. Again, I get to go to 20 people's homes tomorrow. You can't go to those 20 people's homes. For just a split second, I was like, are you one of those 20? You're not. You're next Monday. But same thing. You have, Brother Don, you've got a little more time, right, than the rest of us. You have a... True. This is true.
You are my house. It never ends.
That's... there's no hope is what I'm hearing. That's true. That is true. My dad builds construction, large buildings for a living, and he says all the time, the first thing they start doing, as soon as you're done building it, they start rotting. He said they've got to be painted. They've got to be maintained. As soon as they get done, as soon as they want to rot. And I don't know about you, but my sin life is the same way. It's got to be maintained. As soon as I think, all right, we're in ship shape, I've got some weed crawling over here. And it does me well to get a hold of that weed early. Context is everything. I'm talking about the growing weeds. Some of these youth group kids are like, yeah, get that weed, Uncle CJ. Shame on y'all. Shame. Sinners. All of you. Mm-hmm. But listen. He tried his best, y'all. He tried his best. Listen, when they come in this broken, what do you do? You know what I mean? Imagine if they hadn't tried. I might be using big women and drugs. Who knows? That was not the way that, moving along. We are uniquely qualified, right? You have access to a different, not only to a different set of people, you have different set of skills, right? You have a unique ability to reach somebody for Christ that nobody else in this room can help, right? There's somebody in your life that you can share Jesus with that there's not one other person in this room will have access to. There is somebody in your life who needs encouragement that nobody else in this room will have access to, right? None of us can get to them. If I go to North Cobb Christian tomorrow morning, you know what they're going to say? Sir, you have 2 minutes to leave or we're calling the police, unless you want to teach FCA, come on in. Outside of that, you're going to have to go. Or you can weed eat around the, some field if you'd like to. But if you're not here to work, we need you to leave, right? And that's perfectly appropriate. The other thing is, anybody in the room a parent? Did you notice that the way you were raised, the experiences you had in life allowed you to look for things in your child's life? I have a set of friends who, she lived a very innocent childhood. He lived a childhood that was anything but. He actually says the wildest night of her entire life was a Tuesday for me, just a typical Tuesday. And he said, on the one hand, I hate that I did those things. He said, but I'm thankful that as I watch my children grow, I know what to look for. He said, I know what drugs look like. He said, I know what it looks like when they start withdrawing. He said, I know how to look for those things, and I'm thankful for those things in his life. I know how to look for depression, right? Because I know a little bit about depression. I'm thankful that God has protected me from some of my darkest moments. A girl broke up with me in high school, and I was going to drive my car into a tree. I decided that's what I was going to do. I set a red light one night, and I thought about just letting my foot off the brake and an 18-wheeler come and take me out. And thank God. Thank God he protected me. I know what depression looks like, right? I know what pain looks like. And I know what it looks like to look for an easy way out and to say, but can I be honest with you in those moments? I'm thankful that he brought to mind some things Aunt Melita had said, some things that Greg Birchall had said to me. I went through a really stupid time, and it was actually in that same season. And I was laying in my bed. I had actually run away from home for 3 days in a stolen car. That's not an important part of the story other than to say I did some really stupid things. And when I got back to the home, they all had right to be very mad at me, to be very angry at me. Greg Birchall was on. Some of y'all don't even know who he is. He's a legend of a man. But anyway, he came down to my room. They were, unfortunately for them, on duty when I did my incredibly stupid thing. They also owned the car that I borrowed. That was my story, and I was sticking to it for years. Anyway, and he came down to my room, and he had every reason to be mad at me. He had every reason to rip my head off. He had every reason to say, dude, you are trash. Instead, he said, man, listen, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. And I thought, and it stuck with me, right? I mean, those little nuggets that God gave me got me through dark moments of my life. They have been so helpful to me, and I'm just thankful for those things, right? I'm thankful for those unique qualifiers, those things I get through. Do you think that the people he's talking to who their parents missed out, right, on going into the promised land, do you think that they were enjoying being reminded of the things that killed their parents? Probably not. Probably not. But I guarantee you that they were thankful to say, God, thank you for allowing me to see that and help me to protect my kids from that. Help me to protect myself from that. And I can tell you that I have adopted parents. listen, anyone who's listening online is like, this guy, he's got parents, he's got adopted parents, he's got a bruncle, he needs a therapist. And they're right. I do. But anyway, I'm thankful for Jerry and Pam. They lost a son to suicide. And God allowed me to see firsthand what he protected my entire family from. Right? And I can tell you that it's been 18, 19, maybe 20 years since Brandon died. And I can tell you they're not over it. They're not over it. And I would say they'll never be over it. God has helped them to get better, but they'll never be over it. And so if you're thinking about hurting yourself, God, I tell you, don't you dare. That has nothing. I don't know why I'm supposed to say that, but don't you dare. Someone would rather talk to you. Someone loves you. I love you. You can call me. I answer after the third call usually. Uncle Brian's like, that's a lie. I got five in this week before you answer. Listen, but no, you are loved. I hope all of you know that. You're loved. You're cared for. You're needed. You're needed. Someone, you, again, when I say uniquely qualified, you've been through, you say, CJ, I've been through the worst of the worst. I feel like my mother hates me. I feel like this person was supposed to protect me in an early child, and they didn't. They hurt me. This person was supposed to love me, and they didn't. This person was supposed to be there for me, and they didn't. This person lied to me, and I can tell you that all of those things happen, and God has a unique ability to take that pain and produce good out of it and produce something beautiful out of it. Because I can tell you that Jerry and Pam Moss, if my family life had been perfect, then I wouldn't be available to love them the way I do, right? I don't know who, if you know who the boxer, Adrian Rocky, one of those things that he talks about his wife, and he says, I've got holes and she's got holes and we fill each other, you know, we protect it. Anyway, they you know, as you're trying to fill it with water, anyway, both of our families have holes, right? And I mean gaping holes. I'm talking about someone took a shotgun to the bottom of my bucket, and God allows us to complete each other. And you know what? That's only available because of the brokenness I went through. And if I had taken the easy way out when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, then I think God would have sent someone else to take care of them. I really do. But I would have missed out on the opportunity of seeing them love my kids. I would have missed out on the opportunity of even yesterday, Jeremy came by the house, and I said, what are you doing, Dad? He goes, well, it's raining. I knew you wouldn't be working. What are we going to do? I said, we're going to go do quotes. Let me brush my teeth. Yeah, I love it. We go on trips, and he'll come by the house and say, well, we're not going to just leave Bear here to take care of himself, are we? I'm like, no, sir, please. Please take the dog, by all means. And we'll tell him, hey, we're going out of town this Friday. He'll show up on Wednesday and go, I want him to get acclimated. I'm like, you're bored. just say you're bored. But I can tell you, we have a beautiful, beautiful family that God has allowed me to be part of. And if I had taken the easy way out, and I don't know, I didn't anticipate talking about that tonight, I'll be honest with you. But if I had gone down the dark road that Satan made look like the only option at the time, right? Satan at that time was going, this is the only way, because no one's ever going to love you. No one's ever going to take care of you. In the meantime, it's funny how Satan blinds us to things that are real. I had a whole team of people who loved me. The things I've gotten to do since then, and even before then, right? I went to London as a ninth grader, right? I got lost there, which means that y'all probably made some questionable decisions in sending me in the first place. Poor Jackson didn't get to go to London because his eighth grade year they went. I was like, nah, man. Nah, it's too much for you. And he was like, nah, Dad, it was too much for you. I can go. His mom won that battle, in which he did not go. But anyway, it was also 5,000 grand. 5,000 grand? That's rough. It was $5,000. So we felt like that was God's will for him to not go. But anyway, I'm thankful that while Satan was whispering in my ear, there's no other way, there's no other way, that God himself was whispering and even screaming out loud, hey, stupid, don't, man, not for a second, dude. There's a place called Calvary Baptist Church that loves you. There's a smoking hot blonde. You think that little girl that broke your heart was something special? Wait till you see Amanda. You know, shwee. Jackson's like, no, I'm thinking about suicide, Father. No, but no, you know, God, I guarantee you, God, it was going, I've got this little thing called Gracie and this little thing called Charlie. Whoo, you're missing out. CJ, don't do that. You're going to throw all this away because of one thing. By the way, she invited me over. I remember it. She said, why don't you come over? You borrowed my Spanish book, and I need it back. I said, well, okay, well, sure. I took her Spanish back, and she's like, hey, by the way, this isn't really working out for me. I was like, her mother yelled at her. It was a fun experience for me in that light. But anyway, it was a dark moment, but it nearly took me out. And God used that darkness to propel beauty in the future, right? I guarantee you, if God could, if I could have seen into the future and seen little Charlie, you know, even little Carter, don't you tell him this. He's precious. He's kind. He's good-hearted. Jackson, I'll abuse you. but he is. He is a gentle soul. He's huge. He's taller than me, and it irks me to no end. I mean, I actually have thought about tripping him, or, you know, just not like permanently injuring him, but just where just like, you know, I get a couple months longer, you know. Anyway, it's, I don't know, just things I've thought about. I struggle with intrusive thoughts sometimes. There's a pattern here. You may pick up on that. But the truth is we're uniquely qualified, right? We have been through beautiful things. We've been through painful things. And all of those God wants to use for us to serve him. Right, he wants to use those to give us something beautiful in the future, and I absolutely believe that that's true, and I think that he has a beautiful plan for us. Again, if you could have gotten that dorky little CJ glasses, I mean, that thick. They look like Coca-Cola bottles, I'm convinced. They actually asked me one time in high school, like, so can you see through brick walls or live with those? I said, no. And they're like, well, I'm just not sure. They're so thick. Like, you ever melt ants with them? I didn't until now. You see, let's go try. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. That'd be kind of cool. Anyway, I didn't ever try because when I took them off, I couldn't see the ants. But that's another story for another day. Anyway, but God wants to do something special with us, and we are uniquely qualified. Again, someone in your life that only you can reach. Right? There's somebody in your life that only you can reach, and I hope that we'll find that person. There's things in your life that God wants to use. And you and I would want to call them accidents. We would call them misfortune. We would call them coincidences. But I think God might call them preparation. I think God might call them a training ground. I think God might call them something that he can use. And I would say, let's not be ignorant. Let's not be ignorant. Let's learn from these things. Let's learn from these things. Learn from, don't go through the pain I went through. If you're hurting, call somebody. Call somebody. Anyway, that's, I don't know why I'm so strong on that tonight, but just call somebody. Call me. I won't answer until the third time, but then I will. Text me first. That's a good move. But truly, I love each of you. God's got something beautiful for you. And I think we're done a few minutes early, and I don't expect to get mobbed for it. I think we'll be okay. But anyway, I love y'all. God's got something beautiful, and I'm thankful for the life I've had. I mean, if I die tonight, Jackson's driving home, so I might. No, I've had a great life. I've had a beautiful life. God's been good to me. God's been good to me, even in the dark times. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the amazing life that you've blessed each of us with. Lord, I ask you to watch over us. Help us have a great rest of the week. Bring us here Sunday. Help us to have a productive rest of the week. Lord, where none of us are just here to keep time. Lord, if we're going to be at school, help us to learn while we're there. If we're going to go to work somewhere, help us to be the most productive employee there. Lord, help us to be part of something getting better. Lord, if we're retired, help us to move forward the kingdom of God with every power we have. Lord, help us to do something great. Lord, I don't want to keep time. I don't want to just hang out. Lord, I want to be part of something. I want to be on a winning streak. In your name I pray. Amen.